Welcome. Today I have the great honor of interviewing Ms. Caroline Mahut. She is the winner of the 2015 NATO Association of Canada Essay Writing Competition. Caroline is currently in grade 11. Her favorite subject is science, and she hopes to go into science and engineering at the University of Toronto after she finishes high school. Caroline also plans on pursuing a career that is related to science and engineering. In addition, she is actively involved in extracurricular activities such as piano lessons, Polish language classes, Girl Scouts, and science fairs. Thank you very much, Caroline, for joining us today. I would like to begin by asking you the following question. Your essay focused on how numerous threats from non-state actors have emerged in the past 15 years, such as ISIS and Al-Qaeda. In addition, you answered the question pertaining to how NATO can effectively combat and respond to these threats, considering they are not affiliated with government. Please discuss the significance of your essay.
Well, what I understood at first was that when we looked at the topic of the essay, non-state actors, ISIS, Al-Qaeda, and many of the terrorist groups could be considered as state actors, depending on your definition of a state, because a state is a geographical place that has a governing body, and ISIS and many other terrorist groups, they do have territory that they claim to own, and they have oil mines on that territory, which means that they actually are making money. And so they do have a governing system. Therefore, they do have a state. However, I believe that what they meant was non-state actors, as in terrorist groups within a country, and within this country, how we can combat these threats, even though they are spread out throughout the country and are not affiliated with the government. And so what I believe is that we should, instead of using NATO force or using military force, we should be using the force of the government or the force of the police, and that the police should have a larger role in all of these terrorist actions, and that they are very familiar with the community and they are familiar with the people, and they often know which people are terrorists and which ones aren't. They just are sometimes not allowed by the government to act on these forces because it's the role of the military. And as well, I believe that Canada does not have a role in fighting these terrorist actions, but instead should come later on after the terrorist actions have been mostly removed, and that they should come in and help rebuild the government and rebuild the structure.
Your essay mentions that a NATO military response is typically not the answer in combating non-state threats, as you mentioned. Current attempts at waging a war on terrorism have legitimized the terrorist view that they are not criminals, but holy warriors. Local police and intelligence agencies are much more efficient at targeting these sorts of local threats and eliminating them. Canada should focus not on militarily combating these threats, but rather on supporting local police and on preventing these threats from recurring in the future. Please discuss the impact of your conclusion, specifically as a result of turning to the use of government and turning to the use of police force. What impact would that have as opposed to resorting to militarily combating these threats?
From what I understand, the terrorist threats, when they first start, they don't have a lot of power, and they're often seen as criminals in the government. They're seen as criminals against the police, and a lot of people don't support them because they are seen as criminals. And considering the terrorist threats that are now, most of them are religiously affiliated, which means that they are trying to prove that they are doing this in the name of religion, and if they're seen as criminals, often people believe that this is against the religion. However, as we learned in school, that if there is a bully, you're not supposed to let what the bully says get to you. You're supposed to show that what they're saying is not important, what they're doing does not affect you. And when the government of the country, when they go and they allow the military to become involved with the terrorist groups, and when other countries become involved as well, it's showing that these terrorist groups are important to them and that they They are causing them, they're allowing them to show that what they're doing is allowing them to have an impact on the government. And so what I believe is that when you're using, when they did this, when they caused the terrorist groups to seem that their ideas are legitimized, they're creating them more into holy warriors. And when they become these holy warriors, it's almost like they're battling a war. And when there's a war, there's always two sides. And sometimes you can't tell which side is the good side. And often people who are religious and are maybe one of these religions, they might look at this as looking at one side is the religion and one side is the government. And a lot of times they'll think they're going against the religion if they choose the side of the government. And so this is how they end up with more people supporting them, is because they choose the side of the religion as opposed to the other side. And I believe that the police has a role, because combating terrorist threats using the police, sometimes one example would be kind of like the mafia. Combating them as criminals, they're no longer seen as a world threat, they're seen as a threat within the country. And combating ISIS and turning them back into criminals will almost degrade them from this position of being important to the government, being important to the world. And in this way, they're able to not only combat ISIS, but also terrorist groups, but also to bring the effect of what they're showing to the world lower, so that they don't seem as important to the world, that they are criminals and not only holy warriors.
And I strongly agree with you in terms of your essay and your point of view. You did structure it in a way that you did make valid points, and there are a lot of benefits associated in focusing more on government intervention. So I have to say that after reading your essay, I did notice that you mentioned various strategies. Would you be able to discuss the two fundamental strategies that need to be implemented in order for Canada to successfully target the power that these non-state actors possess?
I think the first thing that Canada can do is they can support the police in these countries. They can support the police in combating these terrorist threats, because oftentimes the military is relied upon to combat these threats, and they often don't know the situation as well as the police do. Often sending in soldiers or sending in military force from a different country, they don't know the community, they don't know the people. They could have wrong evidence, they could have the wrong ideas. While the police who live in this community, they also have a life outside of being a police person. And so they are familiar with all the people, they're familiar with the environment, and they often have a better idea of what's actually going on in the community and who might be affiliated and who might not be. And the second strategy would be for Canada to not have a role in combating the threat, but have a role afterwards once the threat has been more or less eliminated. And many other countries are better at winning the war, they're better at coming in there, and they can eliminate most of the threats, and they can eliminate most of what was causing the problems. However, they can't win the war and win the peace at the same time, because they showed that they are very powerful, they showed that they cause destruction and hurt people. And when Canada can later on come in there, and they haven't been involved in any of this, and then they come in and they can help rebuild the country, they can help rebuild the structure, and they can prevent this from happening again, which is almost as important as stopping it from happening in the first place.
Caroline, you mentioned that the reason why the local police have had a higher success rate than the military is because they implement an evidence collection strategy as opposed to an elimination strategy. Please discuss the difference between the evidence collection strategy and the elimination strategy, and if you would be able to further elaborate on how relying on police to look after these issues is more effective than relying on the military.
The police, they look at every single problem they're faced with as a case. So in this case, you have to deal with, you start from the beginning and you have to get to the end. And when you get to the end, the case is closed. But that means that the threat has completely been eliminated. Well, the police, while the military, look at it more like separate missions. So each mission would be to defeat one part of this threat. And then when they defeat this one part, they then work on, they go find another thing to, another mission. And once they completed that mission, then that part is done. For the police, when they come in and they deal with an issue, so they find one area or one situation that needs to be dealt with, and they come in and they either arrest the people or they deal with the threat. And when they arrest these people, they also collect evidence, and they collect evidence from the people by interrogating them or also from the area. And instead of coming and eliminating, as the military would often do, is when they deal with a mission, they try to eliminate everything in the area to show that they eliminate all the people there, that the threat is completely gone. While the police may not have eliminated the entire threat, they collect evidence, and in this way they can follow through and find another place and another place that might need help in combating the threat. And so I sometimes like to think of it like a canvas. And if you're painting a canvas and you start with the military, the police would start, and they'd start in one spot and they'd spread out, almost like a stain. And eventually they'd cover different locations so they get more evidence, and finally it would cover the entire canvas. And the military, they work kind of with spot treatment. And so they would hit one place and then another place. And eventually they'll fill the entire canvas by using the spot treatment. And one solution might take a little longer than the other, or it might be not as effective as the other or not as efficient. But in the end, they both will cover the canvas. However, in military fashion, I believe that they show the world that this is an important, that terrorist threats are very important to the world. And while in a police fashion, they show that they don't have this holy warrior status.
Caroline, how does it feel to be the winner?
It feels amazing. I wasn't expecting it at all. Well, I've competed in a couple science fairs, but and I decided I should try maybe doing writing in political writing. And I wasn't expecting anything, and it was much different than writing in a science fair, because in a science fair it's mostly report writing, and this was essay writing. And I love to write essays, and so I was able to express my opinions in essay format and tell everybody my opinion, and that was really enjoyable to do, and it was just surprising that I ended up winning the contest.
I have to say that your essay was beautifully structured, very well structured. You addressed all of the points, you provided theories, and also you focused on the main reasons as to why relying on the police and on the government is more effective than relying on the military to look after these issues. I also have to say that not only was your essay well structured, but it was very focused. After you addressed the issue, you tied everything in. Who are a few of your role models that have inspired you to succeed?
Probably one of my largest role models would be Marie Curie. We'll see. It was because she has a Polish heritage as I do, but as well because she was the first woman to have won two Nobel Prizes, and in science as well, which is extremely hard to do, as well as she was a woman at that time and did it, which was amazing. And it encourages me to strive to do things that are also very hard to do. And as well as in science, I'm very interested in science. And so she inspires me to look to things that I'm curious about and to discover more things. And as well, she was one of the first female professors in the world. This is also another very hard thing for her to do, but it encourages me to overcome my challenges and to try to be as, I guess, amazing as she was, and she really inspires me to do my best.
And I think it's very useful to have role models and people that you can look up to, because oftentimes that is helpful in guiding you with all of your success. What is the best advice that you can provide to those interested in writing more? So for the students who are interested in applying and writing an essay and entering the contest next year, what is the best advice you'd be able to provide all of the students out there who are considering writing on a relevant topic?
I think the most important thing is probably to stay up to date with everything that's going on, to read the newspaper, listen to the news, but as well, most people, they look at a headline and they think that they know what happened in the article just by reading a few lines. But I think you should read the entire article. Then you should look up more information. You should follow up articles that are written. you should find out as much as you can about everything, question everything that you read,